From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. In Baghdad tomorrow, the U.S. military will hold the first court-martial of a soldier accused of abusing prisoners in Abu Ghraib prison. Specialist Jeremy Sivitz is expected to plead guilty and cooperate in the cases against six fellow prison guards. As NPR's Ari Shapiro reports, the other defendants are expected to argue that they were only following orders.
Specialist Jeremy Sivitz has perhaps the most straightforward case. He's expected to plead guilty to charges that he photographed U.S. military police abusing Iraqis in Abu Ghraib prison. In exchange for his testimony against the other six MPs who have been implicated, Sivitz is expected to receive court leniency. The maximum sentence he could receive is 1 year in prison and a bad conduct discharge. That forces the other defendants to explain both the incriminating photographs and the Sivitz testimony. Defense attorneys have indicated they'll argue that their clients were just following orders. They also plan to establish the chain of command that gave those orders. Private Lindy England, who was photographed holding a prisoner on a dog leash, gave a hint of this defense in an interview with a CBS affiliate in Denver.
I was instructed by persons in a higher rank to stand there, hold this leash, and look at the camera.
England's face is perhaps the most recognizable among the defendants. Her lawyer, Rosemary Zapor, says the 21-year-old plans to argue that her supervisors used her.
She was told by the military intelligence types and the civilian consultants in the area that one of the reasons they wanted her in the photographs was that she was a woman.
Zapor points out that the Defense Department's own investigation into the abuses by General Antonio Taguba indicated that military intelligence gave the MPs direct orders to soften up the prisoners.
The unit was told that the pictures were being used to great effect to gather further information to identify terrorist activities.
Sergeant Javal Davis may offer a variation on the just following orders defense. Davis is charged with assault and dereliction of duty. His lawyer, Paul Berggren, says Davis's superiors set him up for failure long before the abuse began.
When he got to Iraq, he was an individual who received absolutely no training whatsoever in corrections.
Berggren says nobody taught his client about the Geneva Conventions, and Berggren says his client was forced to work under deplorable conditions.
He was working anywhere from 14 to 18 hours per day, 7 days a week, for 13 months, with no days off.
It was at that point, Berggren says, that his client was told to loosen up the detainees.
Nobody ever defined what loosen up means, so you have an extreme gray area in reference to what they were supposed to do and what they weren't supposed to do.
In Davis's account, the abusers received less explicit instructions than in England's account. Michael Nardotti says that makes Davis's account a weaker defense. Nardotti is a retired major general who served as judge advocate general of the Army in the 90s. He's currently a partner at Patton Boggs Law Firm.
If there was more ambiguous guidance, then there's even more responsibility on their shoulders of having originated that particular misconduct as opposed to being directed to do something explicit.
Gary Solis is a former Marine Corps judge advocate who now teaches at Georgetown University. He says even if military police receive explicit instructions to abuse prisoners, the abusers often remain accountable.
It is not a defense to say I was following orders if those orders were clearly unlawful. So first the defense must demonstrate, one, that there was an order, and I think that might be difficult, and two, demonstrating that their accused didn't know and couldn't have reasonably known that it was an unlawful order.
Nardotti says General Taguba's report on Iraqi prisons cites examples of military police who refused to follow unlawful orders in Abu Ghraib. And that, he says, makes the defense's task even more difficult.
There were other people cited in the report to indicate that, in the broader scale, soldiers knew what was expected. They knew the difference between right and wrong, and they didn't engage in the wrong.
The defense teams will have to show why some MPs knew better than to follow those orders, while the defendants did not. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Washington.